Welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, and I'm so glad you're here today. And just as a reminder, we are on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram. Please like and follow and subscribe and all the things the kids tell you to do, because the moms told them to say it too first. How about that? We'd love for you to also join in on the conversation. Everything that we're talking about, if you have comments and questions, please put them in the comment section. We read all of our comments, and we want this to be a real connection, because we know that the Council of Moms is the place to be where we solve all of our problems in our heads, which is where it starts, where problem solving starts. I would love to introduce our Council of Moms. I'll first just introduce myself as Lisa Valentine Clark. I have 5 kids. I have 2 teenagers and 3 adults. I always say I'm raising baby adult humans.
Yes.
And raising meaning transitioning to that next step of, did I tell you this? Did I tell you? Oh, I already said that. Okay. Mm-hmm. That stage of parenting. Yeah. And I'm excited. We have sort of an unusual Council of Moms today, because this Council of Moms, each mom has just graduated and with a master's in social work.
Yes.
Like, in just recently. This is really exciting. We'll get to that later. But I want you to first know them as individuals. So today we have...
Yeah. My name is Shara Jackson Harper, and I have 5 kids, and I'm trying to think, like, how we... So 2 teens and a preteen, and then 2 elementary age kids.
Okay.
And I'm Janae Jepson. I've got 3 kids. So they are 7, 9, and 13. So I feel like I've hit a real sweet spot.
Yeah. I'm Marjan Ober, and I have 7 kids. And they range from 22 down to 7. So I've got a lot of things.
You've got a little bit of everything.
I was going to say that, but I don't have a baby and no toddlers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So we're past diapers, and so everything but the diaperable people.
Okay.
But we all have 7-year-olds. Because it was like all of our kids back to school once that youngest started kindergarten 2 years ago.
That's right.
And then we started.
That is so funny.
The next phase.
Yeah. Well, which brings me to my big question, which I'll sort of open it up a little bit. I get a lot of questions for the Council of Moms, and a lot of them have been around this particular theme lately. And I invited you here, or knew that you could come and speak on this, because you're all in this kind of stage, which is, how do I create my second act as a mom?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us can relate to that. I can, of like, you've got these little kids and you're like, oh, it'll be like this forever. And then it's suddenly not. And then your kids are, some of them are starting to leave home. And you're like, oh, well, now what?
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about your second act. Obviously, you have a lot in common, but I'm sure every family is different. Every mom's different, that you've had different challenges along the way.
For sure. I think we all got here in a slightly different way, even though we got here at the same time.
Yeah.
For me, I graduated with my undergrad degree in 2006.
Okay.
And had kind of my first wave career, and then had my babies, supported my husband through school, and then his career. And getting my master's degree was always something on my to-do list. It was something on the shelf that at some point we were going to do. And it was a couple of years ago that all of a sudden it felt like, maybe now is the time to start doing this. And I had to make preparations. I had to retake a couple of classes that I'd taken in the past because they had to be done with the last 7 years, and it had been more than 7 years. And so, doing those kind of things and like fitting them in when the youngest was in preschool, and then doing those classes and then being able to start the program.
Yeah.
And I went back to work part-time to kind of prepare for this, make myself more appealing for school. So it was something that has been on the docket for so long, and then just slowly been adding piece in piece. So for the last couple of years, when I realized, like, now might be the time.
So it seems like you anticipated the second act, like it was always part of the plan. Mm-hmm. Was that true for all of you?
It's not true for me. Yeah. I knew that someday I might do something different than kids, right?
Yeah.
But I was just out for a girls' weekend. I'm with some friends up in a cabin, and one of them, who's a therapist, was like, have you ever considered being a therapist? You'd be really good at it. And I was like, I guess I'm going to try that.
So really, just like that?
Just like that.
Oh,
just
my
like
word. That is so cool.
But I had to go, like, decide what kind of therapist I wanted to be, you know, and so looked at a few
things. Like, it's hard vibe. It, yeah.
Oh, it's not
like
hard.
A social worker, an MFT or a CMHD, like all the initials, right? I had to choose which initials I wanted. But for me, it was just the suggestion of a friend, and I thought, that feels good. That feels right. So then I went and tried on a social work class, and I was like, yes, this is the place for me. So it wasn't anticipated for me. It just kind of fell out of my friend's
lips. So interesting. What about for you?
Mine was kind of an outgrowth of what I'd already been building. So after my third baby, I decided to train and become a doula. And then after that, a few years later, I became a childbirth educator and then just working with women and their life transitions. And I was like, we're missing a mental health piece here when we're talking about all of these things. And I thought, what would I need to do? I also didn't finish when I started my degree, like, 2 decades ago, right? And so then I had to finish and then also figure out CMHC or social work or MFT. So it was kind of like, I need to do something else for women and moms, women's issues. What's the next thing? Oh, it's to do some therapy work.
That's so great. I think a lot of people, myself included, you think life is going to go a certain way.
Yes.
Especially, I think this is so true to moms. Because so much of what we do is like day in, day out, like with the diapers and feedings, and you're trying to anticipate. Like, so I think that anticipating what's coming next is a good thing. Yes. I don't think it's like, you know, we should just live in the moment. Mm-hmm. No, moms have to be one step ahead, right? And you're so used to that in motherhood, especially with multiple kids, that you're constantly anticipating. And then you kind of get to this point where you're like, oh, yes, this transition has stopped. So it's so interesting that you've each mentioned like a transition point. Mm. I think for a lot of women that I talked to, they might be like a little bit older or further along, and it kind of is like sneaks up on them. Mm. Like, oh, okay. I guess I do find myself having a different focus. It's not as intense as it was before. Yeah. Or I do feel like I should be doing something next, but I don't know what. What is your attitude about that or perspective on that?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because women go through really interesting kind of behind the scenes life transitions. You have the babies and then toddlers and then their middle grades and their high school and then you're launching them. And within each of those life transitions, no one's really talking to you about like, how's this feeling for you? How are you transforming?
No.
How are you changing?
And which one do you like best?
Yes.
And which one are you good at? Which
about
one?
Yourself?
Yes.
Because all of these things are like, your friend noticed, like, you'd be a really great therapist and you knew all along, I'm going to do something else here. And I just kind of built on these other things. But this experience of transitioning in motherhood over and over again, we don't really talk about. Mm-mm. And so we come to this place and then it's like, I have to rediscover who I am.
Yeah. And that's a huge question.
Yeah.
I feel like even like career and education set aside, I feel like just these different stages of motherhood is rediscovering who I am.
Mm-hmm,
like
that's right.
Who I was as a mom with babies, as a mom with toddlers, as a mom with school age kids, totally different creature. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to how I spent my time, where I put my focus, where my patient was, how much sleep I was getting, like all those things put together, like create a different woman.
Yeah.
And I feel like and things can sneak up on you, but also like all of a sudden, I don't carry diapers and wipes everywhere.
Right.
And it's suddenly.
Yeah.
It's all of a sudden.
But it's all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you don't talk about that. Like when that last time is where you're like, oh, I was going to throw away this diaper.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Yeah. You know what I've been, because nothing in motherhood is quite so constant as season change, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just constantly reinventing yourself. But I've been wondering, like, will there be a last time that, like, I pick a kid up and put him on my lap?
Oh, stop it.
You know?
I hate that.
Seven feels like we might be getting close.
Yes, maybe. Stop.
I know. I hope it's not yet. But it is true that you just never know
it's
going to sneak up on you.
Sometimes that you don't know.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I don't remember the last time I rocked and sang my baby to bed. I don't remember that it was the last. I'm glad I don't because it.
Well, you don't know.
Because you don't know.
It just happened. And then you're on the next thing. You're like, hey, what are we doing next? Right.
But the constant in motherhood is changing. Yeah, and I think that sometimes it's very, especially as your children start to leave, the home too, because they're still you feel like wait a second.
Yeah.
You feel lonely. You feel a little abandoned. You have all these like complicated feelings that you don't want to put on your kids, obviously, but that you're trying to that influence the transition as you're making. And so I'm curious as to you guys seem to have and have this all in common, this exciting thing, this master's that you've graduated in, this big thing that you've accomplished. So you're looking ahead for this now. Mm. Life's going to be a little bit different. So I would love to hear, because this is encouraging to me, people who are on the other side of a big change. Like you applied, you got through it, you graduated, and now you're on the edge of another change, right? Another transition, but it seems exciting. So speak to those who are like at the beginning.
Yeah.
What are the encouraging, wonderful things that you've seen through this time of transition?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say just really quick about the beginning part. I remember when I was like, I think I need to go finish my undergrad and then the next step. And when I look back now, I'm like, this time would have passed either way. Yeah. So what is it that's the next thing for you?
And you're
what's
not
the
out
next
of time.
Step? Right. So sign up for the class, join the club, get together with the friends,
volunteer.
Whatever the thing is that's going to propel you. Because I think also, I feel like we spend a lot of time like, when this happens.
Yeah.
When waiting. I'm done with this phase, when my kids are done with this, when, and whatever, when my marriage is better, when I have more money, but what would you like to start now? Mm. So that in 4 years, you're on this other side and you're like, what? We're doing the next thing, right?
Yeah, now you're doing the next thing.
The time is going to pass either way. What's a small thing you could do today that gets you closer to what that might look like?
Sure, I love that because I feel that's how so much of it started for me. Like, even though I said, this is something I've wanted to do, I've had it on my to-do list to get a master's degree, but I couldn't go from, I was going to say 0 to 60, but I was probably already at 60 because I had 3 kids. But I couldn't go from no school to school. Like, I needed something to make myself appealing on my applications, all of that. And so I started to volunteer in an area that I knew I wanted to work in the future. Okay. Because I was like, okay, in my future practice, I think I would like to work with this population. I don't have any experience. I just feel it. Mm-hmm. And so looking at ways that I can volunteer. And that was something that took, a commitment, especially like going from of being a mom of 3 and something else. Mm-hmm. And that was something that propelled me, just like a little bit at a time. And it was great for my kids also that I had something else. Yeah. So for me, this volunteer thing, I am a volunteer sexual assault victims advocate. And so I have a crisis phone that I have with me once a month. And my kids were involved in that also. Not that they answer the phone, but they knew that if that phone rang, they had to take care of themselves because mom was helping someone else. In fact, we lovingly called it the help phone because when it rang, someone needed help. Wow. And that was something that every month when I had that, they were invested in it too. And so it became like it was my thing, but also my family became invested. And I've seen like that level of investment then in lots of other ways with school and with work. And mom, is today a work day or a school day? And seeing ways that they could cheer me on. These 3 little people are my biggest cheerleaders. And I have been, they're golden. They're so sweet and wonderful. And that's been a huge blessing. And I feel like because I've involved them from the beginning, even in such a small way of like, this is what I'm doing. When this phone rings, someone needs help. And so they're like, they're on it. I mean, the times that I've been like mid-snack making and the phone rings. And so like I walk away and I come back 45 minutes later and the oldest has finished making the snack and the youngest helped clean it up. And it was like this beautiful thing that just blessed my family.
Oh, I love that.
That is great. I'm thinking about like how we draw from our strengths in previous seasons and bring them to this new place. You know, if you're sitting there before the beginning and wondering like, can I do this? Well, listen, we made it through potty training twins. We can do this thing, right?
Yeah,
I am resilient. That's right. Yeah. I can
I've
do
never
hard
had
things.
To potty train twins.
Does that sound terrible?
No, that's not a hard thing I did.
Okay, but we all did
good
hard
job.
Things. We all
good.
Did hard things.
That was a good
thanks.
Example.
I threw it out there so that I could get a little,
well deserved.
Back padding. So, so I think drawing on those strengths, you know what? I have been resilient. I have figured out things I didn't know how to do. Nobody sent me into motherhood with an instruction manual. Right. I had to figure it out. So, I know how to figure things out. So, even if I don't know what's coming, I know that I have everything I need in me to figure the things out, yeah. right? And I know that when I had little babies, I had to draw on my community. Well, same thing here at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know what? We're just reinventing yeah. not only ourselves, but to a degree, our families.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You know, and so I think just looking, what things am I bringing with me? What experiences have I had that yes. are going to help me yeah. be okay?
Is there something that you wish that you would have known when you started that would have made this second act a little bit easier? Mm-hmm. Or maybe not just like easier, but just mm-hmm. You just wish you would have known. It would have been helpful.
It was one of our first weeks of our first semester. We went to a panel with female professors who had come through education through like different routes, mm-hmm. different times. And one of the professors said, and she was so wise, someone in the audience, may have been you.
Probably.
Had asked about work, home-life balance. How do you have work and home-life balance? And she said, that's a myth. It's a myth that keeps us down. Like, there's no such thing as a balance with it. And that really made me realize that I have to give up things.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. even now, we were just joking that, like, now that we're done with school for the last 4 days, all of a sudden, like, open up my pantry and I'm like, oh my gosh, what a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, it was a disaster 4 or 5 days ago. Yeah. But all of a sudden, like, okay, now I can tackle it, which seems like such a plethy thing, but
when you want to do it all.
Yeah, you want to do it
that's
all.
That's right, that's
you
right.
You want, and so getting into my next chapter, my second act, I had to decide what I was going to give up. Mm-hmm. One of the things, and it didn't have to be like, oh, I have to give this up forever. It was like, who was going to give this week? Like there's like different parts of me. There's the school me, the mom me, the human me, all these different parts. And each weekend, different percentage went to different parts. So there was one weekend in particular that I got like a 2 out of 10 stars when it comes to homework. Like I did the fun things with the kids. I was present. We did the fun things. We snuggled. We read the books. We went out because they were craving mom and I was craving them. Then the next week, the very next weekend, that Saturday, I spent 12 hours on campus.
Yeah.
And so it was more like, who's going to give this week? I called it intentional neglect. I intentionally thought like, who can give?
Yeah.
Who can give?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. The other thing I think it would have been nice to kind of have a perception of before starting was this idea that like I actually kind of speaking to the values that you're like, what are my strengths? But I already have everything I need to figure this out.
Yeah.
Kind of this figure. But also there was a very strong, at least for me, I think we've talked about this before too, this imposter syndrome. Like,
oh yeah,
I can't go back to school.
Not funny.
I haven't even been learning like that in so long. This is going to be really taxing to my brain.
I'm going to take statistics.
I'm going to take 3 resource classes.
Yeah.
Well, and then even like, there's going to be all these young students and a lot of fear. I spent a lot of time feeling worried about that.
Okay.
And it would have been nice to have had some internal, like, you have what you need,
yeah,
and you're
going to
stretch
it.
Through it, yeah. right? Because you have what you need, and then you find out, like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then you find out, I could do this other thing. And, like, and then you find out, actually, I can't quite do this. I need some help,
yeah.
right?
And that's
so
okay
you reach
too.
Out to the people, and you get the thing set up, and that would have
oh,
been nice.
Oh, I do love that.
And don't you think it's interesting that we were so afraid
in the beginning?
I think... Yeah. I don't know about you, but
100%.
Totally afraid and intimidated by the younger people
yes.
in the cohort. But
yes.
I think at the end, not very much through, they were all looking up to us,
yes.
you know, to some degree. Because we had a different life experience than them.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's invaluable.
I really thought I was going to be just an old lady
yes.
coming to school.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm 40, I'm not old, but.
That's how it felt, though.
But comparatively.
I thought I was going to be this old lady coming to school. I would just get in, do my work, and get out.
Mm.
I didn't know that I was going to meet not just these two as my best friends, but a whole slew of people who would be my best, truest friends, who would just
Aww.
Embrace me, mm. learn with me, help me, who I could help teach. It's just
yeah.
most of the time I don't feel like I've noticed my age in this new learning
That's
environment.
So except for when they call us moms. So I walk in the room and they're like, Mama Shara. And I'm like, yes.
yes That's don't you love it?
I love it so much.
I love it.
For me, no, it's when pop culture references. One day we're looking yeah. and she's looking at the movie Shrek and she was like, oh, maybe that'd be funny now. I didn't think it was funny when I was a kid. And I said, that's because when you watch Shrek, you were a child. And she looked at me and she was like, and you were not a child. And I was like, correct.
We had our own children.
That's right. We had our own children.
We were watching it with our children.
So yeah. pop culture times is when I'm like,
yeah.
yes, yes,
yeah.
no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Lisa, you know what else I wish I had known is that it is okay to ask for help.
Yes.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit more, because I think when you're mothering, you are so used to being the authority, and you have to be authoritative for respect, or you feel that pressure. And then to go into the unknown, it really is a humbling thing.
Yeah, it really is.
How do you ask for help in an effective way?
Oh, effective. I don't know. Let's see.
Specific.
Yeah. Be specific about the things that you're looking for. We had one semester that was really, really intense. It was the first semester we'd had our internships and we had a full load of classes. And some of us decided to also take two electives that semester.
Look, some of us made choices.
Some of us made choices.
It was a lot. We don't regret it.
That's right. That's right. So we had this huge semester and it was like, okay, I need to neglect some things, and I'm going to ask for help from my community. So I called up some women in my neighborhood and was like, listen, I'm going through this thing. Mm-hmm. I could really use some help with a carpool. What days could you pick up my kids?
Oh, mm-hmm.
You know,
that's so
and
great.
I will try to pick up kids a couple days too, or that's the one that I remember the most. But also being like, okay, family, guess what? We're going to sit down and mom's going to have a really tricky semester, so she can't do all the things that she's been doing. Even the lowered standard that we'd had being in school, right? This was
it turns out there was another level lower.
Yes, another level lower.
We unlocked a new level, kids.
Right. Yay!
Here we go.
Than ever. Yeah. You know, so like, what do you guys think you could take on? What would feel not too bad to you to take on, you know, and just work together as a team? So some of it was asking directly for explicit things that I needed, and some of it was, you know, just who feels like they can give something here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So great.
Yeah. I would agree. I feel like the specific, because there's a lot of people aren't, let me know what I can do to help. Let me know how I can help. And it's so vague and they don't
know
how to help.
You don't know what they're really offering too, which is hard.
Where's your capacity?
Where's your capacity?
There was one experience I had over the summer when we were doing an internship, and my husband is an excellent partner and he was going to be out of the country for a month.
Okay.
And so I had 3 days a week where I was working until 8 p.m. Mm. And I had three kids who didn't have school to go to. And so I had to get creative and I farmed them out on play dates. And then in the evening time, you know, dinner time, that's not a play date time.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I need grandmas.
Yeah.
And so I called out to different grandmas in my neighborhood. And
you're
I was like, hey,
so
will
great.
You come over and be with my kids from 5 until 8? Get them dinner that's in the crock pot and get them ready for bed. And so that just very specific ways to get me to the next step.
And I love that you thought of like, who are the people that are in a season of life that can help me? Because I did a similar thing. I moved here about 6 months before I started the program. So I was like, who in the neighborhood? Who are my friends? Who are the people? Yeah. And I intentionally asked this one lady, I was like, who is a grandparent who misses her grandkids that are not here local?
I can provide.
Who would love. And so
this would be a gift.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And not a burden.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like win-win transaction, right, of support.
Yes.
And so this one grandparent-y couple just stepped right in, took my kids at different phases during that summer of internship where every Tuesday they took them and did fun things with them. And you just can't, like, you kind of have to figure out what is it during this season that I'm going to need. And what does that look like for my kids? And you have to think about their personalities and their needs and things. But then there are people that want to do things.
Yeah.
Just figuring out the right combo and then being brave to ask, which is a hard thing as moms because you spend so much time. You make the list and you manage the things. And there's a sense of pride in that, right? Like,
And a sense of vulnerability. Like, I think we're supposed to be able to do it all.
Mm. Yeah. And this idea of like I am self-contained.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a burden.
Yeah.
And also, this is my pride of like, I had these children and I'm going to take care of them in the way that I want to take care of them at all times. And it's just... Yeah. Nobody can do it alone.
No.
It's vulnerable to put yourself out there and ask for help.
How did this second act change your relationships?
We all took a big breath.
I felt it. And I'm like, well, maybe that wasn't the right last question as we're wrapping up. But I do know that that's always the hesitancy, right, with entering in a new – it's like it's going to change everything. Like,
I have some friends that I am so much closer to and others that have kind of fallen away that got a little annoyed that I was never available for the last 2 years.
And isn't that true in like all like transitions of life though?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think that's something that it's like, oh, I'm sad about that. And maybe it'll grow again when I have more time. But when I think about those close relationships with the people who partner with me, like my spouse and my kids, I felt such a deepening and I'm using the word too much, but partnership. Yeah. Like I've talked about like my kids and my spouse and how they like stepped up to help me and to cheer me on and mm-hmm. to forgive me when I disappeared. You know, there was some days that I went multiple days in a row without seeing my kids because I got home late and I yeah. left early. Mm-hmm. And they were just always there and open-armed and sometimes disappointed. But I felt like we came out of this closer. And because I feel stronger and more confident in who this new version of me is, that I feel like they get a fuller part of me.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That's something I was going to say, too. Like, I feel like my kids see me more as a human now and not just as, like, mom. You know, which I'm glad they see me as mom. I love being a mom. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be Marjan sometimes too. Yeah. And for them to see that and for them to have permission to maybe look forward to creating their own second act someday, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that I had a lot of permission, you know, in my head to do that. Something I had to work to give myself permission to do something outside of motherhood. And I want my kids to be able to have that as an option. And I feel like because I've chosen this, they do.
That's so great.
I love that my kids, especially my daughters, got to see me get my master's degree.
Yeah. And just hearing your kids say too, this whole last week we've been celebrating, my family's been in town, and my daughter is like, I am so proud of you, Mom. Like, they watch the struggle. And this is the same one that, like, 6 months ago was like, I hate your school and I hate your work, right? Because it's a taxing thing for the whole family, but watching you go through the struggle creates a new sense of self for you, which also creates a new awareness for them. And I think there is strain on the relationships and recognizing that as a part of the experience. But in any strain, there's also growth. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's growth to be had in your second act.
I love that. There's growth to be had. What a great way to end. I appreciate you guys being here. Congratulations on your master's. I'm excited about like this next stage of life. Always a transition. Never, you know, it's never boring. That's for sure.
For sure.
Thank you for joining the Council of Moms. We'd love to know what you're looking forward to in your second act. Please leave a comment on our YouTube page. Also over on social media, anywhere, Instagram, Facebook. We'd love to know what does this second act look like for you? What do you think it will look like? What do you hope it'll look like? Let's start a conversation. Mm-hmm.